Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana welcomes you to the marrow of the message. We are continuing our Philippians series, and the title of today's message is Consequence, Confidence, and Cognizance. We're in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. This is what the scripture says: I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. We see in verses 3 and 4 a consequence. And that consequence was that every time Paul remembered the Philippian church, he was thankful and joyful. What a positive consequence. We oftentimes think in terms of consequences as being negative, but can you imagine the consequence that comes when you think of someone? Think about people in your own life that have been a blessing, and every time you remember them, you receive the consequence of their memory. And if you're like Paul, that consequence is thankfulness and joy. We'll speak more about that in a little bit. Verses 5 and 6, we see Paul's confidence. Now, his confidence is not in them, in the Philippian church. He has great joy, a consequence of thinking of them as joy. But his confidence is rooted in God through Christ Jesus. Paul was confident that God had produced the transformation of regeneration in the Philippian church, which was moving them toward obedience. And it was God who would sustain and continue the work till Christ returned. That work of keeping them in salvation, and also the work of producing the fruit associated with regeneration. And we'll speak about that momentarily as well. And then the third section, verses 7 and 8, cognizance. Paul was cognizant. He was mindful of the mutual love between himself and the Philippians, and he told them so. Oftentimes we're mindful of our appreciation for someone. We're thoughtful. We think of that person just as Paul did. He thought of them. He made that clear. But he told them so. And so, whenever we think about Christianity, so often we're thinking in terms of intellect, and we're thinking in terms of doctrine and having things right. But we have to see here Paul the Apostle expressing his love. He not only thought about it, but he expressed that love. So I hope that we'll think about being the kind of church that causes pleasant remembrances for those who think of us. Our ministry partners, or people that come and visit us on a Sunday morning, or those that we have blessed through a meal, or whatever the case would be, however we might would minister to people, when they think of Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church, that every time they think of us, they too would have pleasant remembrances of us. Well, let's look at verses 3 and 4 and the consequence, the positive consequence that we see here. Paul mentions this consequence, the first consequence being thankfulness. That word thankfulness is where we get the word Eucharist. And that word Eucharist means thanksgiving. Being thankful, that's a rightly placed thanksgiving. It's a thankfulness directed to God. God was the source of this blessing, and so God is the one that we thank when we think of the Eucharist, as the Roman Catholic Church would call it, but we call it communion. It is a matter of being thankful to God for the gift of His Son, Christ our Redeemer, that He poured out His blood for the forgiveness of our sins, and also the purchase of, the ransom of us as His very own people. And so when we think of this word, we think about it as Christians as a directed toward God kind of thankfulness. God is always the source. So he is thankful to God every time he remembers them, because God is the source of the power of the Philippian church. He's the source of their being a blessing to Paul. And so Paul was thankful, and his thankfulness was to God, came as he thought of the Philippian church, as he remembered them. Now, it would seem to me that Paul, remember, he's in chains in Rome, He's a prisoner of Christ, but he's chained to a Roman guard. He's in a rented house, but he's not free to move around as he would like to. He can't go preach from town to town. Paul is also, we have to see this from the letter to the Philippians, we get the idea that he doesn't know if he's going to be executed or not. He says in later in chapter 1, he says, whether I live or die, he doesn't know if he's going to live or die. But there's something that Paul did, even in the midst of this stressful situation, that we would do well to remember. That is, he would bring to mind the Philippians, these wonderful, beautiful Christians. And he did it for the pleasure of giving thanks to God. It's easy to pull up bad memories. I struggle with that. But there are times that we must simply, for the pleasure of giving thanks to God and being thankful to God for all His blessings, pull into our minds, bring up the remembrance of those blessings God has given. And for Paul, it wasn't a hard thing for him to do to bring up this pleasant memory of the Philippians. And so the consequence of remembering them was thanksgiving. One of the consequences was. And it's also something to understand that he did this frequently. He frequently called to mind these people that meant so much to him. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. There's a quantitative quality to this use of the word all and of his remembrance. It's always, every time, all. And see, these prayers and petitions were, Paul was directing these prayers and petitions and memories to God. And these prayers and petitions in that he was praying for them, probably praying, God, give them grace to do more of this. Give them grace to outdo themselves. Paul saw that they were being obedient to the calling they had as Christians, and so he would pray with confidence for their continuation, and he would pray with confidence with joy. And this brings us to the second consequence of his remembrance of these Philippian believers, that the consequence of joy. You have the consequence of thanksgiving, being thankful to God, and you have the consequence of joy, an inward delight, an inward gladness, as he considered these believers. Imagine the relief for a suffering servant of the Lord. Imagine the relief for suffering Paul. Now we know that Paul was suffering, but sometimes I don't know that we understand the extent of it, but one thing that we can understand is for you and for me, for any one of us as believers, when we call to mind the remembrance of those blessings from God, we will give thanks and we will also find such relief in the middle of the trial. Think of those people that God has put into your life, people that you can be thankful to God for, but then those that you know they provide for you. God provides an inward delight and gladness, an increasing joy. Now, it's interesting to notice, if you read through 1 Corinthians, Paul never uses the word joy. He couldn't describe his concern, he couldn't describe his inward feelings for them as one of joy. He didn't have this welling up to rejoicing over the Corinthian church, but certainly with the Philippian church he did. But he had increasing joy with these Philippians because the evidence of faith was mounting up over and again and again and again. It's as though the generosity of the Philippians just kept pouring out and pouring out and pouring out, as we'll see throughout our study here in Philippians as we go through time, and we'll look at some examples here momentarily. But the evidence of faith, the faith of the Philippians, was mounting, and Paul was super abundantly joyful for what God was doing in these believers. It's like you send your children out into the world and you hope that they'll flourish. You hope that they'll continue on in the things that you taught them. But more importantly, you hope that they'll continue on in their faith, a faith that moves them to obedience to God. And that's exactly what was happening with these Philippian believers. So no wonder he purposed to think of them. Considering his concern for the many churches, the memory of the Philippians was an oasis for him, where he found great release, great relief. So Paul's joy and thankfulness was increasing, not diminishing. As we'll see, because these Philippians purposed to outdo anything that they had done before, they didn't sit back and just simply remember what they had done before and let that stand alone. They remembered what they did before, and they were full of faith. And in that fullness of faith, they determined to give more, to do more of that good thing, which for Paul was a great blessing and a relief for him. So as a church, I would challenge us, look at these Philippians, see the root of their faith, which was Jesus Christ. Consider this, that as Christ works in us, there should be a desire to outdo ourselves in regard to former achievements. Churches grow oftentimes in many different ways. But one thing that we ought to aim to do more than growing by numbers, simply for numbers' sake, is to grow in faith, to be filled with faith, so that we will be determined by faith and with joy to outdo ourselves in regard to our former achievements. Don't be content with what we've done before. Be happy about it, but move forward. So we need to be the kind of church, like the Philippian church, that was so saturated with Christ, they gave off this aroma, an aroma of generosity, and this aroma and an aroma of faith, which for Paul, as he reflected on them, caused him to be thankful and joyful. This aroma that we have will be for the glory of God. Now, if Paul remembered them helping him, and every time he thought of them, his faith increased. He was blessed with the grace of God, and he was refreshed. So let's be the kind of church that when people come in here, and even among ourselves, that when we're together, we can leave saying, I'm better off for having been to worship today. I'm better off for having gone to Bible study. I'm better off for having fellowshiped with these believers today. My faith has been built. I have received grace upon grace from God because of these people, and I've been refreshed. In a couple weeks, we have a missionary coming to our church that has expressed just how tired he and his family are. They work so hard, and then they come home on furlough, and they have to work harder. Let's purpose to be the church that we're a faith-building church, a grace-giving church, and the kind of church that refreshes our missionaries when they come in. Well, let's move on to five and six. Confidence. Paul has confidence in God, in God's transforming work through regeneration, that the work he began would continue. He gives the reason why he's so thankful and why he's filled with joy, why the remembrance of them, he gets down to the nuts and bolts of why, here's the reason behind my joy and my thankfulness that God has provided. It's the word because in verse 5, because of your partnership. It's the reason why Paul always, always, every time gave thanks in all his prayers for all of them with joy. He says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. This word partnership is a good word. They partnered with him. We'd say, I understand that partnering with our finances, we partner with other ministries. Friends, it goes a step beyond simply signing the check. They were in fellowship with Paul in Christ. They had entered into fellowship, a mutual fellowship through the Spirit. They were bound together. So it was so much greater than the sending of a monthly check. It affected their relationship to each other, Paul and to the church, because it was centered and glued together in Christ. This is a more than a monetary ministry partner. They had fellowshipped together for 10 years. It was 10 years prior to this when Paul came to Philippi. And Paul preached the gospel. Lydia received the gospel. And the next thing we know in Acts chapter 16 at one point, it's Lydia who's offering hospitality in extending the Christian fellowship to Paul and to Silas and their companions. The jailer opened up his home and took care of Paul. There had been this deep fellowship that began long ago, 10 years prior, and yet throughout the years they had continued remembering Paul, staying in touch with Paul. They sent him a gift when he was in Thessalonica. They sent a gift to him when he was in Corinth. They sent Epaphroditus to minister to him. And even now in Rome, as Epaphroditus had come, they sent him a gift. You can look in Philippians 4:16 and see this, as well as in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. So if we say we are in partnership with another ministry, what we're going to be meaning by this, and what we mean, is that we are fellowshipping with our missionaries. We're not going to just send them checks. Honestly, we've not done a very good job of that. Not you, not the congregation, but the leaders, myself and our two elders. We will purpose together to work and pray, and you guys can help us out to how we can build this fellowship with our two missionaries that we offer support to. Right now it's sending of a check, but may the Lord provide that it can be so much more than that, and where we can love them just like the Philippian church continued to remember them, because we have a commonality that comes from the gospel. And we, along with the missionaries we support, have a commitment to the gospel. We each have a confidence in the gospel, and so therefore there should be a contribution made to our missionaries for their ability to continue the work of ministering the gospel in the places in which they are, the field in which they work. So Paul remembered them with joyous prayers because they were together for the gospel. And we need to be that way. Paul was so happy that the Philippians had just maintained this partnership from the very beginning. As I mentioned, with Lydia and the jailer and on, how they had extended their love to Paul and Paul to them. Because they were together for the gospel, they were grounded in Christ. And 10 years later, the Philippian church was still energized by the gospel. Because as we see in verse 6, it was God who, being the originator of salvation and this transformation through regeneration, God being the originator of this, carried the work on. And the evidence was that they were continuing in their partnership with the Apostle Paul. And this caused Paul a great deal of confidence, and this poured out in thanksgiving and with joy. God began the partnership with Paul through the Philippian church, and God will complete it. He'll continue it. Well, let's look at our last section, this cognizance, in verses 7 through 8. Paul was mindful of the Philippians' works and that they were evidence of grace. And because of this, Paul loved them all the more. Paul said, "It's right for me to feel this way about you. It's righteous for me to think. It is the highest form of right for me to think that a human can have through the Spirit to think of you this way. Any lesser affections would be wrong." See, they were partakers and they were sharers in the grace of God. Paul realized there was one fountainhead. He was not superior to them in position because he was an apostle. He had apostolic authority, yet he didn't wield it in this letter. He didn't need to. But what he's reminding them of, he loves them, and he loves them from this equal footing of being participants in the grace of God. Because he says, I have you in my heart. It's right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. In other words, they were coming alongside whatever season of ministry he was in, being in chains or out and about defending the gospel, proclaiming the gospel, confirming the gospel. They were with him. They stuck it. They gave evidence of loving Paul, because in all seasons of his ministry, they stuck with him. They stayed with him. They continued practicing grace. They took hold. They drank from the reservoir of God's grace and poured out in abundance what God was pouring in to them. Paul says in verse 8 how he longs for them. And he says, God can testify for on my behalf of how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. It's a yearning he had for them, an affection that originated in Christ Jesus for them. Because being participants in the grace of God means that it is the power of God, the love of God flowing in and through. So Paul is saying, as much as you have demonstrated your love, the love of Christ for me through your works, through your giving, so I am telling you, my heart is longing for you. It's the affections of Christ. And so there was this mutual outpouring of Christ, Christ through his body. The mutual edification of the body as the Philippian church blessed Paul, and Paul blessed them. The church loved Paul. Paul loved them, and this was Christ working out through them what he had worked in to them. So the questions are, and we'll have to close this, how can you be an oasis for other believers? How can you be an oasis? Let the love of Christ pour out. And how can Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship be an oasis for other believers, for missionary workers that we support, and for one another? How can we become a cause for thanksgiving and joy? Well, let's be a consequence for other people, a positive consequence. And let's provide through our faithfulness as God works in us, confidence for those who have been refreshed by us, and also then let's be mindful of the love of Christ in us being poured out, poured upon and poured out through Jesus Christ. May the grace of God be with you.